This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 293 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
You know, if I was any happier, they'd have me tested.
Is that right?
Oh, I'm in a good mood tonight, Bruce. Good mood.
Went through my bags like McCartney in Japan.
Oh, there you go. How's your week been, my friend?
Mate, pretty good, pretty good. Do you know what that quote is from?
It's from, no.
It's a Red Gum song?
Yeah, but that's why. I don't know.
Anyone outside of Australia wouldn't have a clue.
I saw Red Gum live once. They were booed off stage.
What?
Yep.
Seriously?
Booed. They were a support act for a band.
Right. Who was the band they were supporting?
Midnight Oil.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Fan base is quite, yeah.
Yeah, Midnight Oil fans wouldn't have much time for Red Gum.
And then the lead singer of Midnight Oil, Peter Garrett, came on stage and told the effing people who were effing booing to effing stop, he'd come out and effing hit him.
As he would.
And he went back off stage and let the band keep on playing.
Yeah, right.
So you've had a good week.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's been fine. Sorry, I'm just a little distracted because I realized I pasted all of your notes into the wrong part of my text document. And so I'm just putting them in the right spot. My week has been fine.
Excellent.
Haven't got the camera out this week, but I am planning on getting out on Saturday night because new moon occurs at about 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. So that means there'll be no moon out on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a...
think you can go photograph it.
Wander down to... Yeah, that's right. It's like the Irish with their trip to the sun. Oh, yeah, we're going to go at night.
We're going to go at night.
So I thought I'd head down to the Skillion at Terrigal and just see if I can pick up the Milky Way.
The what at where?
The Skillion. It is a rock outcrop.
Oh, okay.
At Terrigal, which is a suburb of the Central Coast.
Another rock outcrop.
Pretty much. Terrigal's one of the better beaches on the Central Coast.
Yeah.
And it's our closest beach. So, so I'm going to head down there Saturday night and see how we go. I have never tried shooting the Milky Way before. I've been reading up about it, so we'll see how I go. How's your week been?
See if you can Photoshop your Milky Way photos look like everybody else's.
That's right.
Yeah, I've had a terrible week. Not terrible in any way, but just doing nothing. I've had to sit for the last 3.5 days whilst tradesmen did stuff.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything, just sit. And the guy and the two of them were the most morose, just unpleasant people to have. So just the whole vibe of the house was terrible.
Oh, okay.
So it's just been an unpleasant bit of a week.
Messing up your feng shui.
But they've gone now. They've finished this afternoon, so I've finally got rid of them.
Okay.
So other than that, it's a pretty boring. But I've got to make another apology to a listener.
Well, it wouldn't be an episode of Shudders Inc. without an apology from Glyn.
And it's the same listener I apologised to last week. Reg Bloody Vardy.
What have you done?
He's the bane of my existence, Reg Bloody Vardy. Right. See, I know Reg.
Yeah, right.
From Western Australia, not from Tasmania. And he's come to workshops with me in Western Australia. Right. And we've had lots of discussions about Reg on the podcast over the last couple of years, about Mojo and stuff.
Yeah.
But in my state of decrepitness last week, or the last 2 weeks while I've been sick, it's been like, I keep saying Reg is in Tasmania.
Your near-death experience.
That's Reg Bloody Ashman, not Reg Bloody Vardy.
Oh.
They've got the same first and middle name.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I get confused. It's the last name just varies.
Right.
So, Reg, I hope Western Australia is treating you fine.
Dear.
I came across something today that's not – that's a little bit to do with imagery, but it was only by mistake.
Okay.
I was driving along and I heard a funeral parlour advertising.
On the radio?
On the radio.
Yeah, okay.
But what intrigued me was not so much that, because you hear that occasionally.
Yeah, yep.
But was their slogan captivated my interest.
Right.
And their slogan is, if it's legal, it's possible.
What?
If it's legal, it's possible. So it doesn't matter what kind of outlandish ideas you have for your own funeral. If it's legal, they'll do it for you.
That just has so many wrong connotations.
It's just... if it's legal, it's possible.
I wonder what they... What frame of mind were they in when they came up with that? Like, what were they thinking about?
If it's legal, doesn't matter how crazy your idea is. You want to be buried with three cats if it's allowed to do it. If it's not cruel to animals, if they're stuffed as well, we'll do it.
Right. Okay. So that's what they meant.
I guess. You know, wow. I want my funeral service with me standing stark naked. Dead, staring at everybody. But I want you to set me up so I'm like a Frankenstein's monster standing at the front. Yeah, what's this? Some evil. Make me look like a zombie coming back from the dead with makeup and have me standing at the front by the door when people come in. Scared.
Don't put me in the coffin. Make up an animatronic dummy of me and put that in the coffin and make it move.
Put me in my clothes, about 10 rows back on the left.
Just like Weekend at Bernie's.
I want to go to my own funeral. I'm just going to sit there and watch, right? And then imagine the freaky people action. Dave, I thought you were dead. Dave, elbow falls off the chair. God, it's legal. It's possible.
That is just creepy.
And when I went to their website to double check, I hadn't misheard on the radio. Here comes where the imagery bit comes in.
Right.
They do funeral webcasting.
Oh, what?
How modern is the world becoming now that if you live overseas and can't make the funeral, you can log in and watch it on the internet.
You couldn't be asked turning up.
Pretty much.
Oh, man. No, I won't go. I'll just catch it on YouTube.
watch the reruns.
Yeah. It'll be on Netflix next month.
Man.
Oh dear, so, oh dear.
That did brighten my day today, I've got to say.
Oh man.
I might become a Creative Photo Workshop's new logo. If it's legal, it's possible.
Wow. That's just awesome. In all the wrong kinds of ways. Oh dear.
I've spent an extensive 45 minutes research tonight.
Right.
Coming up with a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. So
that's at least three times more than usual.
I know. It's gone mad.
Yeah. Anyway. But
it was legal, so it was possible.
Right.
So I just got to announce that Snapseed is just updated. If you do any sort of mobile photography and don't have Snapseed, they've just updated to a wealth of new features.
Right.
And a completely new completely new interface.
User interface?
A completely new UI, which takes getting used to.
Right.
They've got an absolute stack of new stuff to play with. So if you haven't heard, go and get yourself an update.
Right.
That's it for me. That's my 45 minutes well researched. And I did that a couple of days ago. No, I did that. I saw the update on Facebook yesterday, so I updated and haven't had a lot of play yet.
For Snapseed?
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention that because I only installed it for the first time on my Samsung tablet about 4 days ago.
Is that funny?
And every time I launched it, it crashed. Oh. So I gave that about six goes and then I just uninstalled.
Bloody Samsungs.
But I'm assuming that was pre the version 2 release, so I might give it another crack.
I don't know. What was the icon, do you remember?
A green leaf?
That's the new one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, I've leafed that alone. Yes. dear. Fuji's just releasing their 16mm 1.4 for their little X-series cameras.
Right.
Which it's once again reiterated just how surprising that Fuji's doing this.
Sorry, is this for APS-C sensors?
No, for their it's a 20 equivalent to like a 24mm 1.4.
Right. So well, that'd be about a 1.5 crop, wouldn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it is.
It's similar to APS-C.
So whatever the Fuji X series cameras are, probably is APS-C size.
Cool.
But it just how surprising this Fuji revolution is. Yeah, this phenomenal range of prime lenses.
Yeah, because, I mean, in 35 mil terms, that's sort of like a 24 or a 28.
Yeah, 24 mil, 1.4.
Wow.
But an astounding build quality, incredible sharpness, amazing size. Yeah, yeah, right. This whole Fuji revolution, the X revolution, is just kind of mind-blowing. Yeah, right. They're sort of changing the face of photography.
Well, I think Adam's got the Fuji system, hasn't he?
Well, I knew he was getting, so I'm assuming he has now. Yeah.
And I've noticed on Facebook of late, like just last week, that Rebecca Dunstall has just bought herself a Fuji system as well. So, yeah, it must be something to this thing.
Well, I've used the Fuji X-Pro one.
Yeah.
And the lenses are sharp as a nun's tongue.
Right.
Yeah, incredibly sharp lenses. Yep. I'm not sure if I can get used to the operating, the actual just the handleability of the cameras. Probably something grows on you, but
Do you find that because of the smaller sensor, it's hard to get shallow depth of field if you want to do portraiture?
No, if you're shooting, yeah, a lot of their lenses are pretty darn small. Yeah, they're shooting your 2s and 2.8s and stuff anyway.
Mm.
And I rarely shoot portraits under 4 or 5.6.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, you know, it's you know, in the same sort of ballpark.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, 2.8 on an APS-C is about the same as 4 on a 35mm sensor.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But I'm not a big fan of the 1.2 stuff and all that really low number stuff. It's just too hard to do.
Yeah, it's too hard to get it right.
Too hard to get anything in focus. Yeah. Just once again, that Fuji quiet revolution. I reckon it surprised Fuji. I reckon that it's just blown them out of the water. It's the last thing they expected to actually happen as well. So from everything I've sort of heard from Fuji, their little murmurings is like they're all kind of sitting there with like shell-shocked little smiles on their faces. How did this happen?
Yeah, right.
In this world of photography, how did this happen?
You know? How long will this gravy train go for?
Exactly. Speaking of gravy trains, Canon has dropped the price on 31 lenses in the USA.
I saw that.
So we're sort of hoping the rest of the world's going to follow. But that's the second major price drop in it's got to be like the last 12 months.
Yeah, right.
They had a batch of 16 or 20 lenses, and I'm sure a lot of them are the same lenses.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because the link that I saw said, don't know if this is a temporary price drop or a permanent price drop. So given that this is the second one in 12 months, I'm assuming that the previous price drop has remained in effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, which would suggest it was a permanent price drop. So stands to reason that this is probably
not
the same.
It's not being advertised as a special.
Yeah, right.
So therefore you're assuming, it just says on the Canon thing, says new price. So I'm assuming that means it's
going to stay that way.
Or it's a new price.
Yeah, right.
And I saw, I was a bit amazed tonight that I see that LinkedIn are buying Lynda.com.
Yeah, huge news.
Where did they get the money from?
LinkedIn, I don't know what their source of funding is. I mean, I know they're a pretty damn huge company as a social network, but as a Lynda.com.
You're on LinkedIn, aren't you?
Sorry?
You're on LinkedIn.
I am.
I'm on LinkedIn.
And I'm a Lynda.com author.
I know, but do you give LinkedIn any money?
No.
Me either.
No. But I think corporates do.
Yeah, apparently my wife says that you can get memberships. But so, well, it's kind of a strange thing. LinkedIn and Lynda, where's the...
Well, the tie-in is that LinkedIn is a social network that is designed around business networking and helping you find your next career move.
Yeah.
Right? Now, part of, the new century that we live in is that most of the career moves you want to make are going to require you to acquire new skills. And Lynda.com is all about training. It's about expanding your skill set. So it makes sense. It makes sense. I'm just interested to see how it plays out, at a fundamental level, like how they actually work it. But on the surface of things, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, you've got a social network that's designed to help you find your next job, and then you've got the training assets that Lynda can bring to the table that allow you to upskill ready for your next job. The great thing is that for Lynda and Bruce, who own the company, that's a personal payday because, it was not a publicly owned company.
Yeah, yeah. They've got squillions.
Yeah, 1.5 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
With a B. Yeah.
With a B, a big yeah, B.
So, but, you know, I mean, I'm absolutely, you know, so proud of what Linda has done. I mean, you know, I'm only a very, very small piece in that puzzle, but what she's done over 20 years with that website is absolutely phenomenal, where you see photos of her from 20 years ago and what she was doing, and to see the way it's grown, and to see the current operation now in Santa Barbara or Carpinteria in California, just an amazing progression. And you know, I saw a blog post that said, you know, like all of, you know, so many of these things, you know, these overnight billionaires happen to young 20-year-olds who, you know, fresh out of college, haven't worked for anyone else. They just went and created a startup, and boom, they've created a monster and sold out for, you know, similar sort of money, where this is actually not an overnight success, in the sense that this has been a slow...
It took them years to sell out.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think it's a sellout in the sense that, you know, I don't think Linda's going to take the money and run. I think she'll very much want to be involved with where it goes from here. So, yeah, it is. It's exciting news.
Yeah, I was excited. Not really.
So, for anyone who has not, I know I probably sound like I'm evangelizing Linda a little bit, and full disclosure, I earn royalties when people watch the video training that I have recorded for Linda.com.
Has anyone ever watched one?
Sorry?
Has anyone ever watched one?
They must, because I get a royalty check every month.
Oh, cool.
Have done every month since I, you know, first worked for them in 2006.
Man.
They've never missed a month. They are very awesome in that respect. You know, I've spoken with other authors who said, you know, you'll never have cause to worry. You know, they pay up every month. And yeah, I was going to say to anyone who's not checked it out, definitely have a look at lynda.com, because they do offer a 7-day free trial, where for 7 days you've got full access to the whole library.
And if you have like 15 different email addresses.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's 105 for 3 days right there.
Yeah, and it's great quality training. Is it? Anyway, shut up now.
Because it's you. Yeah. My training is great. Not sure about everyone else's, but I am awesome.
There you go.
And that's not just you saying, that's you and yourself and, you know, and other people like
that's,
you.
That's right.
dear. What else do I have on my list? I have a few other
and then there was one, the Atlantic.
Yes, this is just a series of kind of cool little photos of these people in China who, like, own a building or a house, and they've completely refused to allow them to be demolished and have like skyscrapers built around them.
These are amazing.
This little series of cool shots of these silly little buildings.
I have seen a collection of images very much like this, and probably had some of these very images in them. And it just, it boggles the mind that obviously real estate laws are different there to what they are here, you know. Either that or people just don't know how to strong arm the last man standing.
You kill them, don't you? Yeah.
He's sleeping with the fishes.
Sleeping with the fishes. But I thought that was pretty cool. And a cool series of photos.
It's just... It boggles the mind that you would hold out and allow, you know, some massive skyscraper to be built all around your house, which means...
Now here's the thing. Half of these people, they don't have any water or electricity anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, it's been gone for a while. Yeah, they're still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of amusing. Some cool shots. So definitely going to have a look at those. Bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Manfrotto, the lovely Manfrotto.
Yeah.
I've brought out this thing called Digital Director, which is a mounting system for iPad minis.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can now run your iPad minis as your monitor for your DSLR.
For video nice. And stuff. So you can use it as your video preview.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool. I thought that was pretty, for people into video, I thought it was pretty darn neat.
I'm assuming it's not only iPad devices. I mean, I'm assuming you could mount an Android device to it as well.
I'm not sure what there's an app you need. Some depends on what the app.
Hey, why would you need an app?
I don't know. I didn't read it. I glanced at the article. Right. I'm sure I saw the word app.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I don't think I was, but I could be.
Yeah, right.
Smarter people than me can investigate.
Yeah. Well, link will be in the show notes.
Now, I'm sure this camera's been out a while. I just haven't seen it. But the Nikon P900 Super Zoom camera.
Right.
This thing's got a 24 to 2,000 mil zoom lens.
What?
A 24 to 2,000 millimeter zoom lens. Like an 83.6 times zoom.
That cannot be optical. That's got to be digital.
Optical zoom. Optical zoom.
What? No.
Mm-hmm. 24 to 2,000.
I don't understand how zoom lenses work, but I'm thinking that's just crazy.
It's a biggie. It's a biggie.
It would have to be. It would have to be monstrous, surely.
Camera's tiny. Well,
normal. This is a Coolpix. This isn't even a DSLR.
Yes. Yes, no, that's what I said. Well, a DSLR would be impossible, but on this little sucker, it's more than possible. Wow. $678. It's not even expensive.
That's crazy.
So it's handy. I'll try to find a.
That is crazy.
Look at the P9. So it's not a super zoom. It's a mega zoom. 24 to 2,000 mil equivalent lens.
I love the demo pic on the NikonUSA.com website.
Yeah, what's it of?
Well, if you just type, Nikon P900 into Google, one of the first results you'll come up with is the NikonUSA.com website product page for the Coolpix P900. Yes. And there's a picture which appears to be just a rock shelf near the ocean with some waves splashing up over it and the horizon in the background and a little bit of a mountainside going into the sea on the right-hand side off in the distance. Now, below the picture, there is a slider. And the slider acts as an 83 times zoom lens for you. So basically the image you're starting with is what you would get at the wide end. That would be the 24 mil. And then you zoom all the way in. And 50 kilometers away, there's a surfer standing on the rocks. You zoom right in on him.
Oh, that is so cool. What a great little slider.
That's awesome.
Man, it's got really good high ISO performance, this camera, too.
It would need it. I'd be wanting to shoot 100,000 ISO in broad daylight.
So 83, that's optical zoom. You can go twice as close with digital zoom. You get to 166 times the dynamic fine zoom.
That is insane.
So 24 to 4,000. That's so useful.
That is just crazy.
You'd be able to photograph the back of your head.
Yeah, that's right.
All the way around the earth and all the way back again, and there you are.
That's it.
But that's optical zoom, 24 to 2,000 optical zoom.
That is crazy.
Man, because it's 12,800 ISO.
Is it?
They're only available when using high ISO monochrome in special effects mode. That's interesting, isn't it? That's because you get the really grainy black and white.
Right.
Oh my God! Seven frames a second.
Yeah.
Well, continuous shooting mode. 7 frames a second for up to 7 shots. So 1 second. You've got a 1 second burst of words. Oh, it sounds good. Wow, 7 frames a second sounds pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So that's at that size zoom, you need to be on burst shooting just to have a hope of actually getting your subject in the frame.
Yeah.
You're trying to hand hold it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh man. And it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 different video resolutions.
Jeez.
From 1920 by 1080, 60 frames a second.
Yep.
All the way down to 640 by 40 at 25 frames and everything in between.
Hang on, there's got to be some higher frame rate stuff, surely.
Well, 60 frames a second.
Is that the fastest frame rate it does?
Well, it's pretty good.
Nah, that's a bit lame in today's terms.
Well, it does. It's got a 5 billion times zoom. What are you damn well want?
It's not enough, Gwen. It's not enough.
It does 120 frames, but only at 640 by 480.
They're asleep at the wheel. I'm disappointed.
It does 15 frames a second. That's kind of unusual. 12 and a half frames a second.
So you can shoot in YouTube format.
Yes. funny stuff.
Dear, moving on.
So anyway, that's it's a 16 million pickle camera too, yeah, which right. is Very, very important. So there's a camera to not lust after.
No.
But it's worth pointing out. Now, yeah, remember the other week we said that we didn't really see any April Fool's jokes?
Yeah.
I came across one today because people are bleating still
right
about the joke. You've heard of Magic Lantern?
Yeah.
So it's like
they do firmware upgrades for Canon cameras. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they did a April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
Where when you turned your camera on, it came up with a blue screen of death,
yeah,
saying Magic Lantern is shut down to stop creating any damage to your camera. And then a list of possible fixes.
Right.
And number two in the list of fixes is focus your camera on today's date really carefully, which, of course, is April. But if you didn't see that, imagine if you're on a shoot, you turn your camera on, you're on a really important shoot.
Yeah.
You turn your camera and you see blue screen of death. You're not reading the fixes. You're in panic mode. Yeah. So a lot of people got pretty darn cranky that they thought this was a funny thing to do. Now, apparently they've done another one where randomly during the day it changes like the brightness of your LCD screen, the saturation of your photographs.
Ooh, that could be a little bit worrisome.
I would probably maybe not use that mode on my camera on April Fool's going forward.
Shoot film on April 1st.
Yeah, I've got a feeling they're just a little bit mean.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, remember how we were talking about the 512 gigabyte camera?
Yeah. Memory card.
Yeah. I found the perfect camera for it.
Okay.
Someone's invented a self-powered camera that can shoot forever.
What?
So the sensor alternates between being a solar panel capture device.
Wow.
And a light capture sensor.
Wow.
It's not shooting, it's capturing, it's storing power to keep the camera running.
That's awesome.
So you can load your 512 gig card. At the moment, the thing's only capable of doing 40 by 30 resolution photos.
As in 30 by 40 pixels?
No, 40 by 30 pixels.
Right. Okay.
Right. Now, I'm not sure how big a file size that's going to make, but I'm thinking your 512 gigabytes should keep you going for a while. But you could set that sucker up to do, I don't know, time lapse.
Yep.
One photo a second.
Yep.
The next 1,200 years or something.
Yep.
And you see mankind change.
Yeah.
Yeah, see the world, I don't know, fall apart or whatever. And when aliens finally come,
yep,
the memory card still won't be full. They'll capture that landing. And they'll walk up and say, wow, we can see what happened to this planet, mm-hmm, why everybody's gone. And look, there's still 300 gig left on this card. But yeah, isn't it amazing? A camera that the sensor not only captures light but turns it into electricity. It's just astounding.
Yeah.
So it's early days, obviously,
look
at the resolution. But look at the future.
Yeah.
The things people are working on this planet just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Speaking of the things people are working on, Apple just bought a company called Lynx, which are claiming they've got devices in the making that will make iPhones have the same image quality as their DSLRs.
Okay.
And performance. It allows you things like a minimal depth of field and refocusing capabilities and HDR according to these people. So Apple's bought this company based on their blurb. So you imagine there's got to be a... I got this from their website. We allow apps to freely use the 3D information captured by a camera, get this, to achieve amazing new features such as the ability to refocus an image. So that's kind of like a Lytro.
Lytro, yep.
But nicer if it was on a mobile phone.
Yep.
But here's an amazing one. Measurement of the true dimensions of objects.
Wow.
If you photograph a building and you can get the height, width and length, it'll be able to measure it.
Yeah,
and do 3D object modeling and real-time background replacement for video calls.
Wow.
All from this thing. So that's pretty done. Wow. So if you've told the missus you're going to a strip joint, right, but you're really down the library doing some study and she wants to do the little FaceTime,
yeah,
you can all of a sudden you can change the library into a strip joint.
That happens to me all the time.
So that's once again technology. This, yeah, who knows
how it is crazy
to work.
Yeah,
but it's just such a cool world. What a time we live in, Bruce.
Oh, absolutely.
Time we live in. Speaking of times we live in,
yeah,
there's a woman in England.
No,
there is.
Right,
she's the queen. Tell. She's the queen. No, who's become the world's first Bitcoin-only photographer?
As in, that's how she wants to be paid.
She'll only be paid in bitcoins. So if you want to employ her, you've got to be in that currency.
That's an interesting ploy.
I think she'll have another first fairly soon. She'll be the first photographer to go out of business as a Bitcoin photographer.
Well, here's the thing. Bitcoin absolutely inflated out of all proportion in the first 12 months.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand her thinking that I could get paid today and 12 months from now, it would be like I got paid 100 times that amount.
Except it plummeted and lost all
the tools. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're overlooking that part of it. I'm just saying.
You're saying your money could be worth nothing.
Yeah, well, yeah, there is that side of it as well.
Man, that's the same with any money. Yeah, I do stuff in the US. Yeah, sometimes you lose money when the dollar's high, and sometimes you make more when the dollar. You pay your money, you take your chances. That's you know? It. Yeah, but I thought that was interesting.
Mm.
Again, another interesting little tidbit.
Yep.
And then I came across this thing. I don't know how we missed this. In November last year, Nikon put in an advisory that they keep finding these fake DSLRs, fake Nikon DSLRs, and now they've got more.
Yeah.
So. People changing like 600s to make them look like 610s. The old 7000s to look like 610. So APS-C size, changing the badges, make it look like the full 35mm sensor cameras and sell them that way.
Yep.
Or getting old discontinued D4s and making them look like D4Ss.
Yeah.
And they're getting a few of these coming up for service and stuff like that. It's like, what the?
Yeah.
Maybe once again, there's cheap online buys.
The thing is, when you look at the two bodies side by side, you realize how close an eye you would have to be paying to the way, the layout of the buttons and everything to actually pick them apart.
Yeah, exactly.
They are so similar.
So it's very crafty. So you just never know exactly what you're going to get when you buy these cheap internet purchases. I'm thinking,
that's exactly right.
I've seen before in the past. Fake memory cards. Yeah, SanDisk cards been copied. Yeah, just been different counterfeit stickers on who knows what brand.
Yep.
But
I don't mind going to eBay for things like a memory card, but I wouldn't buy a camera there.
But would you buy a memory card?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Because how do you know how reliable the thing's going to be? And if it crashes and loses all your photos,
you don't. But if I probably wouldn't use an eBay-purchased memory card for, shooting a wedding.
You know, I'd buy a camera online before I buy a memory card.
Really?
Oh, I'd never buy a memory card online.
Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, who knows what the things are, you know?
But as we've just seen, same can be said for the cameras.
Yeah, but at least the camera's still, if you had to shoot with a D7000 instead of a 610.
You've still got a functional device.
That's your working camera.
Yeah.
But if you buy a bunch of memory cards for a trip and you get overseas and none of them work
that's a good point.
Whatever or you've got 3 days of photos on there and it just stops working. No, the memory's so cheap anyway. I wouldn't for $10 cheaper. Not worth it.
Yeah,
not worth taking the chance. And now I came across some decent selfies.
Right,
but shot by a guy called Alex DeForest.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of his images now.
What do you reckon?
Very different.
Very cool.
Very cool.
very clever. Yeah, very, very clever stuff.
He's one of those guys that the moment you look at his work and once you have, there's that, but once you've become familiar with his style, you would recognize it anywhere you went. Yeah.
Exactly.
You would look
or at anyone a trying photo, to imitate
yeah,
style.
Yeah, you could go onto 500px and see one of these photos and goes, that's an Alex DeForest. got that look.
It's just got that look, hasn't it?
That's
seriously
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very, very different So they're all, those listeners who haven't yet looked at the link, they're all light painted images.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he's light painting.
Yeah, right.
Which makes it even more amazing because he's going to be fairly still for a lot of this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Don't know what kind of lighting tool he's using.
Yeah, right.
But pretty darn cool.
Awesome. I'll definitely check those out.
Yeah. And I've got just a couple more things and I'm done for the week.
Right.
I came up with this idea. A pro tip to noticeably improve macro photography.
Right.
And what is stick a translucent plastic cup on the end of your lens.
Okay.
And then you put the cup over the thing you're shooting. Let's say you're photographing a flower on a bright, hard, sunny day. You put the cup over it. It's translucent. It makes this beautiful soft light everywhere.
That's awesome.
What a cool idea.
That's awesome.
How stupidly simple.
Yeah.
How absolutely. Of course, yeah, you probably need to keep a range of plastic cups, so there is expense to be taken into account. If you should 24 to 70 sometimes, or you're 70 to 200 sometimes, you're 90mm macro or whatever, you got some range. There's more space in the camera bag than we're taking up. but I just loved it. I thought,
But the sample images just show how awesome that is as a hack.
It's a simple diffusion panel.
Yeah.
And once again, you can put it down and it gives you a spacer. It's...
Yeah.
All kind of cool stuff.
That is seriously cool.
Yeah. Smart ass. So he's got a Photography 101 macro and close-up photography video.
Right.
On Lynda, funnily enough.
Oh, really?
So maybe it could be worthwhile looking at that.
Yeah.
In fact, it's actually a video. No, it's a Lynda article, lynda.com article.
Right.
Which, by the looks of it, is actually free to access. Where's it's the same art.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much the same article. He's a wasp or something. Yeah. Limitations and workarounds, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, so it's...
Right, so the link that takes you off to lynda.com is for the preview of the course. Now, the way Lynda does this, for every training title... And this particular training title is called Photography 101, Shooting Macros and Close-Ups with Joseph Linashk. For that training title, there might be 30 or 40 short movies within that entire title. What they do is they randomly pick, say, 4 or 5 of those movies from the whole title, but not all from the start. They'll be randomly spaced across the entire training title, and they make those free to view. And that is so you can get an idea of the presentation style of the guy presenting the training and get an idea of the type of stuff that he's going to be covering. And it just gives you a primer on, you know, on what to expect if you do then shell out the money to buy a subscription. So that's what that is. That link is for a preview of that course. So without having clicked on it, I can tell you now there'll be, you know, 4 or 5 movies there that you'll be able to watch from that training title. That's pretty cool.
It is. It is. Preview this course. There you are. Start your free trial now.
Yeah.
It's been viewed 6,514 times in 104 countries.
Nice.
So let's share that because that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have a look here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, one of the free videos is 31 minutes. That's pretty good. Another one there, 19 minutes, 12 minutes.
No. Are you looking down the left-hand side there?
Yeah.
So where it says 1, shooting macro and close-up in the backyard, that whole section runs 31 minutes, and it's made up of the movies that are below it. So there's Exploring Textures as Subjects, which runs for 8.5 minutes, and that one's a free movie. And, is that the only one that you can view? Okay, maybe they've changed their policy. They used to give you 4 or 5 movies.
There's a couple. This is the intro to macro and close-up. There's the gear for shooting macro and close-up, and then the exploring textures.
Oh, okay, right. So it's just those first three.
Yeah.
But even so, there's close on 15 minutes of content there that you can watch.
But anyway. What a cool little idea.
Yeah.
And in the same sort of line as cool little ideas like that, because I'm kind of tickled by that.
Yeah.
This guy been using sandwich bags and coloured markers to get bizarre and sort of ethereal effects around his images.
Okay.
So he sort of puts like a plastic bag on the end of his lens.
Yeah.
That sort of creeps out so the lens is photographing through it.
Oh, wow.
And then he colours in different bits of colour in different parts as the light goes through. It creates these hues and tones and these sort of out-of-focus areas across his image. So it's a little bit like a lens baby without that sort of distorted mini-world effect.
And the last couple of images of the brunette girl, it kind of has a bit of an aged film look.
Yeah, absolutely. Somehow,
like, you know, like there's been a bit of light leak.
Yep. Yeah, it depends what colour texture you use.
Yeah.
So, again, kind of a cool and certainly a very cheap way to go and experiment and have a bit of a play around.
Absolutely.
And away you go. Yeah, so I'm thinking I've got a natural light workshop this weekend. I might pull out the plastic bag and scare the living daylights out of the customers.
Yeah. Nice.
Could be kind of cool. Mind you, should never try something new at workshops. It's something I learned a long time ago. Don't try anything new at a workshop. But very neat. So that's my discoveries for the week.
Yep.
Which is not bad for 40-odd minutes.
That's not bad at all. Not bad at all. Now, through the week, we got an email.
Took almost as long to talk about it as it did to find it.
There you go. I can't remember if this was an email or if this was off Facebook. Actually, I think this was off Facebook. This was from David Jones. He said,
it was on Facebook. No, it was an email.
Was it?
I can't remember.
He said, you asked about undeveloped rolls of film. This was, I think this was the week you were away last week.
I don't remember anything about this.
So just to bring you up to speed, because I know you didn't listen to last week's episode.
Or any week's episode.
I was talking to a colleague at work, right? And she was telling me about how a member of her family had found this camera and it had a roll of film in it that had been exposed in the late 80s, early 90s, and they hadn't done anything with it. It was still sitting in the camera. And they'd just gone and got it developed and printed. And Gabby's now in her 30s and there's photos of her as a, you know, in single digits.
Oh, God. Amazing.
So, back to David Jones's message. You asked about undeveloped rolls of film. I currently have a shopping bag of undeveloped rolls of film saved from disposal taken by my in-laws. I've got two rolls developed thus far, and they are at least 15 years old. Probably half the bag is APS film. Not only harder to find a developer, but probably twice as expensive. Since this is potentially a large part of my wife's history, I will ensure these are developed. Also, I previously worked in photo finishing, and a customer dropped off a huge lot of film, and I got to see the story of his daughter's life in an afternoon. Birth to at least age five birthday party. Then there are the ones who have at least two birthdays, a Christmas, Easter, a graduation or school play, and then three pics of the cat to finish off the roll.
Man. Now, my mate Phil up in Queensland does APS developing. So,
oh, okay.
From photofast.com.au, and that's photo with a F-O, of course, as it should be. Yeah. But, yeah, they do it. He does printing and scanning and everything else.
If David was to reach out to PhotoFast and drop your name, they'd charge him double?
Oh, absolutely. No. tell him I said they'd give him a cracking deal for quantity.
Right.
Yeah. So it's fair. It's fair enough. But ask for Phil.
Yep.
Phil with a PH and photo with an F.
Right. Excellent.
His son Will, who's actually the only decent bloke there, because Phil's a bit of a tosser. Phil's a bit like my dad. Yeah, in the world, we used to travel the world a bit together, go to conferences and events and stuff, and everyone thought he was my dad. So,
all your hopes of getting a deal, David, just went out the window, mate. Now, Adam Davidson, on the back end of your tip about the macro lighting, you know,
oh yes, that
Joby Gorillapod style thing last week, came up with a thing called Adaptalux, and this is very similar type of thing, but it even looks cooler than the one you came up with. This thing has a control unit which sits on top of your camera, and it has five sockets that you plug these various lighting arms into, and it auto-senses, so the moment you stick one of these tubes in, it just automatically turns on the LED light, and it's a constant light source. And then they have different colors, and they have all sorts of it's just mad. You should have a look at the video.
I saw it on the when I pointed out last week. Some people were talking about it in the comments section about other one, and they're all bleating about it for some reason. I can't remember what it was, but they like it for some strange reason.
Oh, the video looked promising.
Well, you know, could be just a good video.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So then there's a couple of things that I came up with this week. One was, I know we've covered Canon dropping the prices of lenses, so we don't need to cover that. Oh, if you have a look in the links that I sent you, there's one from expandedconsciousness.com. Story goes that this particular photographer, I think he was a Pakistani from memory, was outside of his car, sitting on the ground, photographing a lion, right?
As you do.
And the lion, having picked up the scent and seen where he was, has come at him full charge. And this guy has decided to grab a couple of snaps before diving back into the car.
Yeah, but he was using a Nikon P900
from 38 kilometers away.
It's 4,000 millimeter. The thing's in another state.
But check out the images.
That's pretty darn cool.
That is just awesome. Like, for those who haven't opened up the link yet, you've got this lion in full flight. The eyes of the lion are just absolutely locked onto his prey. The teeth are bared, and he's coming straight at the camera. That is just a cracking photograph.
Just even if the damn thing in focus is
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if this guy doesn't pick up a wildlife photography award for this, I'll be really surprised. That's a cool.
There's a good link below at the bottom of that. Was it 7 films with the longest on-screen nudity? There you are. It was worth going to the link after all. I've got some movie watching. Look at there we go. Eyes wide shut. Oh, I hate these ones where you got to click to the next page to see the next one.
Hate a lot. Now, there was another link I had there that I'm not going to bother covering, because the other thing that I had in my link or in my notes here was just as a reminder to myself, it says the photo from Vanuatu. Now, the story I want to tell here. For long-term listeners to this podcast, you may remember this from when it actually happened. In 2006, I went over to Vanuatu to help set up some guys in a little community-based radio station on the island of Tanna with a PC and some audio editing software. While I was there, I made a point of going to see Mount Yasa, which holds two distinctions. It is the most continuously active volcano in the world. It has erupted, you know, probably 20, 30 times every day for about 800 years. And the second distinction that it holds is it is the world's most accessible volcano, because you can drive your car to within about 150 meters of the rim of the caldera, and then just walk up to the top of the rim and stand on the rim while this thing is erupting. It's seriously cool. When I was there, there were a group of 4 people who had been there for a while before I arrived with my tour guide. And in the 15 or 20 minutes prior, as we were driving towards the mountain, a shower of rain came over the top of the mountain and over the volcano. So when I've walked up to the rim with all my camera gear, because I was because I was there to shoot, you know, obviously the volcano, these 4 people were sitting huddled around what's called a lava bomb, which is when, you know, lava ejects out of the volcano, lands on the ground, goes splat because it's essentially molten rock. And at the time it hits the ground, it's, you know, it's like 1600 degrees Celsius and it's just throwing off heat. And where'd you lose me?
I don't know. You're rabbiting on something about Vanuatu volcano blowing up.
You can drive
the car up.
So anyway, so there's these 4 people and they're sitting around this lava bomb, getting the radiated heat off it to try and dry out because they got wet from the rain. And I took a photo of the four of them, and then I proceeded to start taking, you know, my multi-image panorama and whatever. And I was there deliberately at dusk because I wanted to get sort of, you know, the fading light, and, you know, as the eruptions occurred, I could get these lava trails time-lapsed. And there was a woman there who was in an orange hard hat, and I'll put the link in I'll put the photo in the show notes so that you can see it. And she was doing what I had been told not to do, and that was sitting with her back to the volcano.
Yeah.
Right now, I was told,
sitting with your back to that lion.
Yeah, exactly.
Not such a good idea.
Yeah, so I was told, whatever you do, if you freak out and if you don't run away, don't turn your back to the volcano, because if it ejects and you don't see things coming, you know, you can get hit by lava and die. Right. So she's sitting there with her plastic hard hat on, which is obviously going to save her, with her back to the volcano. And this friend of hers was trying to take a photograph of her with a handheld point and shoot, no flash, no tripod. Right. You can see the obvious error in his ways, right? I could immediately see what she was hoping to get and the fact that it was never going to happen. So I've walked over to where she was, dialed in my...
Oh, let me do it for you, Mom.
Yep. So I did. So I said to her, I said, look, when the next eruption happens, don't move until you see the flash go off, unless we yell that you're in danger of being hit. Right. So I shot this image for her, and it came out absolutely, you know, great, and she absolutely loved it. And I said, look, give me a business card and I'll send you a copy when I get back to Australia next week. She hands over a business card. It says Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena, California.
Ooh.
I'm like, you seriously? You work at the JPL? And she's like, yeah, I do. And I said, what do you do for a living? And she said, I study the telemetry data coming back from the Cassini spacecraft, and I analyze all of the volcanic activity on two of the moons of Saturn.
Yeah, wow.
I'm like, yeah, of course you do, because that's what you do for a job.
Yeah, but what do you do for fun?
So I said to her, is this work or a holiday? And she said, oh, a little bit of both. Anyway, long story short.
Because it's pretty long.
It is pretty long. I'm sorry, but there's a point to it, and it's relevant to you, Glenn.
Oh, is it?
Sure, it is. It is.
I'll stop changing the background on my screen, on my computer.
So today, right now, I haven't been in touch with her for years. I got in touch with her again in 2008 when Kath and Max and I were in Los Angeles, and she organized a tour for us, and she took us all through the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. It was amazing. We got to see parts that the public never get to see. It was awesome. But since then, I've not been in touch with her, but I am friends with her.
What's it about me?
Hey, yeah, getting to it. But I'm friends with her on Facebook, right? Today, a person I don't know posts a photo of a guy I don't know, but Rosalie, the lady who was in the orange plastic hard hat, posted a comment saying, we all miss him. And I've looked at the guy and I've thought, hang on, I'm sure that guy was in the group of the four of them crouched around this lava bomb. And I have a bunch of photos on my phone, and I knew I had my Vanuatu photos on my phone, so I've had a look, and sure enough, there's the photo. So I've dragged that photo to the desktop, and I've typed on Facebook, and I said, hey, Rosalie, wasn't he with you in Vanuatu at Mount Yasa when I met you in 2006? And then I posted the photo, and I said, I'm pretty sure this is him. And she came back, and she said, That is him, yes. And she said, I was engaged to get married to him, and in 2008 he just suddenly had an aneurysm and died.
Oh.
And
that'll happen.
Well, yeah.
So the wedding didn't go ahead?
So no, the wedding never went ahead.
Because if it's legal, it's possible.
That's exactly right. But what got me thinking about you was Your thing about taking photos of people all of the time. Now, I'm sure that image was not the last image of him taken, because he lived for another 2 years after that image was taken. But the thing that was interesting was that Rosalie hadn't seen that photo, because the only photo I emailed to her was the one of her sitting beside the volcano with the lava trails behind her. So she hadn't seen this image of the four of them sitting around the lava bomb. And another of her friends on Facebook who was chatting there was also one of the other two people in the photo. And likewise, he'd never seen it. So I thought, I kind of felt like I understand where you're coming from when you say, you know, you just never know when people are going to be taken from us and that, you know, these photos become valuable once people are gone, if that makes sense.
It does. I've just gone onto her Facebook page.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this. We've got a mutual friend, me and her.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Freaky.
We've got a mutual friend. His name's Bruce Williams. I'm going to click
on the link. You scumbag.
Let's see who he is. Hang a sec. Hey, and I've got people in common with him as well.
You are a shocker.
No, I took a real tosser. So I'm not going to go back to Rosalie's. It's like 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm 2 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Is that right?
I am. I know someone who acted in a movie with Kevin Bacon. I'm only 2 degrees away.
Wow.
Which is, that's almost like being Kevin Bacon.
Not quite.
You
keep living that dream, mate.
Think about it. You're only 3 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
Because you know me, I know her, and she knows him. Yeah, that's your Bacon score, dude. 3. Have you ever been to that website? I love the Kevin Bacon. What's your Bacon score website?
Oh, no, I'd never heard of it.
Really? So you can type in like anybody, from any movie you've ever seen, it'll come up what their Bacon score is. Okay. Oh, yeah, they worked with a sound producer, and that sound producer worked with a art director who worked with Kevin Bacon. Yeah. Oh, it's pretty cool. Six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
That's so awesome.
Very funny. Well, is that it for the week?
That is it, matey.
Have we waffled on and rabbited on long enough?
We have.
We've done good, though.
Yeah, we have.
We had some fun.
Excellent.
We laughed, we cried.
That's it.
Well, maybe not so much cried, but we laughed.
And then we vomited.
And then we said, sorry, people, we'll try to stop offending your ears and we'll hang up now.
All right, mate, you have a good week.
I will. I'll talk to you all soon.
See you, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.